Welcome to the Beyond Good podcast, bonus episode. This is Matt Findlay. So the idea here was just to offer a little insight into what goes on behind the scenes at Beyond Good HQ in a very casual chat between me and Femi. We share some reflections on how the podcast has evolved, a few thoughts on edgy Twitter, discuss my view that we don't need any more maps of the territory, and talk about teacher training, school visits, and podcast guests. So nothing too deep here. We just wanted to say a huge thank you to all our listeners and open up our world to you as much as we can. I hope you enjoy. So, Doc, we're back in the studio.
We are, mate. Good to be out here. Lots of our pods over recent weeks have been remote, which is, you know, we live an hour and a half away, so it has to be done like that sometimes, but it's just nice to be back face-to-face, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
I thought it'd be interesting to just have a very short one where we maybe talk a little bit more about that. So we're together face-to-face, and when we do that, generally, you've come over to my house.
Yeah.
And we're in the quote-unquote studio.
Yeah.
And I should maybe just set out that that's not... What that is a shed in my garden that I've converted to play music in. So there's behind Doc there's a drum kit and some guitars and guitar amps, and it means we've got a couple of mics and we can sort of sit here in a bit of space and hopefully get a decent quality recording. But when we're doing it on Zoom, you record on your phone, right?
Yeah and just send it over, just and you gel the two together, stitch them together, which is works well, but nothing like being face to face.
No Yeah, so our process is sort of to record and then I put it together and send it over to you.
Yeah.
Usually.
Yeah.
Or sometimes just put it straight out there.
Yeah.
And put the music in, stuff like that. So, yeah, we've been going for quite a while now.
Yeah, it's about a year and 3 months, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so what are your reflections or your thoughts on how you think about it compared to when we started and how it's going?
Yeah, still loving it, really. I think we initially, and anyone who's been with us since the beginning or has gone back over the back catalogue, and there are a lot of people actually on Twitter that have said, you know, yeah, I've been kind of binging on this pod, these two guys, and have gone back to the beginning and come through, will have noticed that I think we did it at the start as some kind of like what we thought was kind of public service of like we need to let people know about the way certain things should be done in the classroom, or our views on education, or, you know, some of the things that we've worked on or written over the past. And that's how it started, wasn't it? It was very much kind of, how do you get a class in September? How do you deal with low ability kids or whatever? And I think we've moved away from that to it being more just an authentic discussion about our thoughts on where we are currently about something. So homework, right? I don't feel at the moment as if I've got homework right. But let's have a conversation about that with the mics on and see what you're doing, what I'm doing. The listeners will then know where we're up to. People may then tweet in what they're thinking. It's become more that, which is why I think it's kept going. Because useful and interesting for both of us, rather than thinking, well, we'll let everyone know what we think and then they'll benefit from that. Kind of might have died out, you know?
Yeah, I agree. That's definitely the feels like the trajectory to me.
Yeah.
And I think that when we were doing that, I remember those first few podcasts just like really wanting to be mentally sharp and well prepared.
Yes.
And thinking quite carefully in advance about what points I want to kind of bring up and touch on. And I think that as time's gone on, I've become much more relaxed.
Yeah.
And it has been much more of an authentic conversation many times I don't really know until just moments before what we're going to discuss. And the preparation for it has really been, as we often joke, you know, the last 15 years of teaching experience. But it's much less of a lecture or a public service announcement than kind of an authentic back and forth,
which people seem to like. And it's gained legs, especially in the last few months, I find. I don't know whether us going on with Craig Barton, I think, has contributed towards that.
But
there's a lot of good conversations that go on in staff rooms and in classrooms around the country. And I think people have notice that's what we're trying to do. Not tell everyone how it all should be done, but just have a conversation that you might have in the day when you just realise that you can't get your year sevens to do X, Y, Z. You go and speak to a colleague about it.
Yeah. One of the things I really like about that as well is, and when I listen to other podcasts and it's that kind of format, there's a vulnerability to it. You know, you're stepping out and saying, I don't necessarily have this nailed.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm willing to go in front of a public audience and admit that and put my thoughts out there kind of live, which is a very risky thing to do.
Yeah.
And I know plenty of times I've thought, you know, what I said on that episode, maybe I've slightly changed my view on.
Yes.
Or having talked it through with you, I've actually come to a different place. And I think that's a sign that it's working, that it's a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, and I think thinking out loud is really useful to model, because there probably isn't enough of that in teaching. It's in the same category as reflecting, you know, reflecting on your own performance. It's like being willing to be vulnerable, accept that you haven't got it all the answers, and open to discussion.
The education world is a funny world, isn't it? Because it seems to me that there's thousands of people across the country that are doing this job, and that are hopefully failing better every year, you know? Mm-hmm. So a lesser proportion of their class are struggling than they were last year. We're all getting better. And no one can say that it's across the board perfect, because in everyone's class there's somebody who, you know, isn't doing as well as they could be doing. But then also on top of that, you've got the top sort of 0.1%, which is kind of the edgy Twitter kind of gods who kind of run the CPD, and thousands of people go to see them and listen to them, and they kind of put across their thoughts. And we're not in that category, are we?
No.
You know, we're not out there kind of doing CPD at schools for a couple of £1,000. No. Neither of us have written any books.
No.
But we do think about it and talk about it a lot. But I do think that one of the things about those people is they have to project, or they feel they have to project the idea that they do have the answers.
Yeah, a lot of the time I think that's the case. You know, there's a lot there. So we should also say, actually, since we're trying to give a bit of an inside view into how we think and work, on the Twitter front, you manage that, and you generally, if you're talking to Beyond Good at Twitter, at Beyond Good Pod, you're talking to Femi generally.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm completely happy with that, because I'm confident that you'll say something sensible most of the time. But I did join Twitter for a while and try to kind of get involved in that circle. And I got to say, it didn't work for me personally, just in terms of I found myself spending a lot of time staring at my phone, which I wasn't really enjoying. And I'm not sure I can really get into that short form. It just seems to me that so many of the issues that are being bandied back and forth are nuanced and complex, and they require a longer discussion.
Yeah. And so someone putting, maths should be taught in sets, come at me.
Yeah, right, exactly.
That is not a very long form discussion.
No, no. I don't think I posted anything at all on my time on Twitter. I just lurked and watched, and I saw a lot of that. It just seemed to be a lot of black and white thinking, and you know, no space for nuance. And then occasionally someone would post something. I'm sure this happens a lot, where they say, like, you know, tweet 1 of 17, and then they go through like there'll be 17 tweets where they sort of elaborate on a point. And great, but it's just not really, the platform isn't designed for it.
I'm quite selective in what I like on there. I don't like this sort of let's say, I don't know, I don't like the sort of let's joke about our job, and oh, this year seven said to me the other day that this was that, and oh gosh, wasn't that funny. I don't really like that. I don't like the isn't our job terrible, oh my goodness, how long has everyone got till they break up, oh, I'm on 5 weeks, oh, you lucky devil. I don't like all that, because I do enjoy this profession, you know, and I don't want it brought down to when can we next not do it.
Yeah.
You know, although of course, holiday, rest, relaxation is needed from anything that you do, whether it's from your own children or from a job or whatever. I also don't like the out and out, let's just argue about this. I'll tell you that my school does do restorative conversations and they work, or my school doesn't and it's wrong. I don't really want that either. But there is this little pocket that I do like, which is kind of more vulnerable discussion and trying to learn from each other. And I've changed my approach to Twitter because I probably was a little bit too involved in that kind of let's argue about this in my first few months on it.
Right.
And did get into a couple of little sort of like, yeah, well, I disagree, or that's wrong. And I've moved away from that now. I never have any arguments on it anymore. But yeah, it probably does fit with me more than you.
Yeah, no, well, I'm grateful for you to do it. I really am. Going back to the edgy Twitter professionals, as it were, the people who are doing CPD in schools, you said that they feel like there's a sense in which they have to know all the answers.
Yeah.
That's interesting to me. And, you know, I think that maybe could tell you something about what you're looking at there. But the other thing that struck me, and I've used this line before and I'm going to use it again because at some point I'm going to do a longer chat with you perhaps about what I'm doing going forwards
my
current situation. But
yeah,
there seems to be, if you're, you know, the current mechanism is if you're trying to be a voice for change in schools or you're going to run CPD or something like that, you have to offer some content, right? So maybe you have a website or a blog and you're putting stuff on there. And my take on it is that we've got enough content. Like, there's enough maps, this is the phrase I like to use, there's enough maps of the territory out there. You know, whether it's Rosenshine or the Great Teaching Toolkit or just, you know, with some of the things that Willingham said or any of the data out there, there's a thousand books, there's a thousand blogs, you know, there's a thousand websites where everyone's kind of putting forward a new map of the territory. And I think that the mechanics of trying to make a name for yourself in the educational profession, as it were, feels like you have to do that. My sense is what we're lacking are guides to the territory. So someone who can look at the map, whichever map it might be, and really say, this is how that fits reality. This is how your context relates to what Rosenshine's saying. This is how what's going on in your classroom relates to such and such is what such and such is saying on the blog. So I'm very cautious about, you know, you said neither of us have written books. We both, I think, probably thought quite hard about books. There's a lot of we've wanted to say. I've pulled back from that very consciously of trying to write down anything, because I really don't think we need more noise in terms of the maps of the territory.
Yeah.
I actually think we need more people to interface between the map and the school.
Yeah, and I would agree with that. And I think you see that too when you see ECTs come into the profession, of just like, you talk about the maps, you know, they're often obsessed with all the different sites and areas you can find resources on quadratic equations, but no one's being a guide to how to teach quadratic equations. You know, someone will say, oh, this is really good. Yeah, some really nice stuff on here. This that's all fine. You can find it. It is there.
Yeah, yeah.
But how about getting a 14-year-old who's quite underconfident in maths to actually understand it? That's different. That's a different world, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, and that's the art form.
Which is why I hated my own training so much, because so much of it was that. And I think I've said this on the pod before. The guy who actually ran the training at my university said to me, as he signed off my bit of paper or whatever, just, yeah, good, shake the hand, brilliant. I'll be very surprised if you're in education in 2 or 3 years. That's what he said to me. And you know this guy, don't you?
You came across him when you trained. He was signing off my training as well.
Yeah. And the reason he said that is because I'd been very critical of the training we'd received. Because I could tell, having been trained under Alan's tutelage, who was great on teaching me how to explain stuff to kids, that all of our training at the university have been about just resources.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I would say that the gentleman that you're talking about has always struck me, certainly at that time, as being an intelligent and interesting bloke who was not, you know, I don't know, I have no idea how good he was in the classroom.
No.
But he seemed
stuck him down, actually.
He seemed pretty perceptive.
Yeah.
In terms of the things he would pick up on when he would come and watch me. And he certainly seemed to, I mean, it's a long time ago, but
yeah.
He certainly seemed to raise the right kinds of points. And I know when I was thinking about training, he gave me some really good advice. And he said, you know, actually, it's very funny because, so before I even signed up for anything, I met up with him. And he said, he sort of drew on a piece of paper. He said, there's a sliding scale. And at one end, you've got, you know, your tough inner city schools where you're going to be doing, it's going to be more about pastorally, like getting kids through. And at the other end, you've got very academic sort of situation where you'll be a mathematician.
Yeah.
You know, and where do you want to go? And we'll write to those schools.
Right.
And then I went and visited a few schools to get a sense of where they were on that scale. But,
He was at the top end, wasn't he? He'd be grammar schools and stuff, I think, in his own teaching career.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I wonder if he said that to you because he recognised in you, you know, someone who you know, you have a medical degree, you know, background, your perception of teaching was very acute and your intelligence, let's say, for what's going on here. And possibly tolerance of it,
yeah,
was going to be at the top end, I think, of people coming into this industry. And I wonder if he saw that and just thought, this guy might not last, not because you couldn't do it.
Yeah.
But
because, he wasn't saying that.
No, he wasn't saying, but because you got frustrated with just,
yeah,
like, why is there so much poor practice going on?
They used to do things like make us make a fractions game for 2 hours in the afternoon, and then the lecturer would just go and like get a coffee,
yeah.
And just like, so you're going to make a fractions game to explain fractions to year seven. There's card over there, there's paper, there's string, there's glue. I'll be back at four to see what you come up with. And people were just like, a bit like they're probably doing in my daughter's year one class. They'd run over to get the card and to get the glue and the scissors because they had an idea. And I was just like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Now, the one difference between me and a lot of other people on the course was I'd already been in the school for 18 months, being a TA and doing a little bit of teaching. So I knew what the actual real struggles in a secondary school were, and still are, to know that this isn't that relevant. But some of the other guys on the course probably did as well, but just thought, let's have some fun. Let's make a game.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got to say, I had the same sense of it. It was crazy. It really felt to me like there was a big gap between the reality of being in school and what the people in universities seem to think,
yeah,
you know, you needed to be thinking about in training. And I remember in all of my training year, the only session I found useful was when they got in this former head teacher, or maybe possibly current head teacher, and he worked in very tough inner city schools in Portsmouth.
Yeah.
And he actually made us, or he actually ran the training like a lesson.
Did he walk in and slam the door or something?
So what happened was you're told like, okay, 11:30, you've got this training with such and such, and you have to go to this room. And so at that time, we went up the corridor to this room, you know, like E4 or whatever.
Yeah, in the university. Yeah.
And he was on the door, right? But no one was going in, and he was on the door. And then he sort of stony-faced, quite a short guy.
Yeah.
Stony-faced, like staring, you know, very cold eyes.
Yeah.
Signaled us in without a word.
Yeah.
And I went, I don't know, second or third in the queue, I went to shake his hand, put my hand out, and he just blanked me, just ignored me. And I sort of withdrew my hand and carried on into the class.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And went in, and then he sort of closed the door, and he came, and he just, you know, he made his way very purposefully and kind of calmly to the front, and it was just silence.
Yeah.
And he sort of just said something, he said like, "That's how you start a lesson," or something, or something like that.
That's great. That's good.
It was really good.
I wasn't there. I remember you talking about it.
And
you
remember,
got to have balls to do that.
Yeah,
you got to have real big balls to do that.
Yeah, that's right. And I remember at the end, he didn't. He never apologized for not shaking my hand, but it was clear what he'd been doing.
Yeah.
You know? and what he,
yeah.
and
he, did, he, he, did he run the whole session as a lesson, or was it just the start?
The start had the biggest impact on me. I think he then sort of unpicked what he'd done, and
he
didn't engage with any chat, didn't shake my hand. You know, he sort of like he went into the psychology of it.
Yeah,
fascinating. But in a year of training, that 10 minutes was probably the only thing I really found useful.
Shall I tell you the only one I found useful?
The rest of it was on the job. Yeah, go on.
Deputy head from another inner city school bought in. And maybe this is like 15 years on why we did that pupil perspective episode and why I was so keen for us to do that. He brought in 4 kids from his school. Right. And he made them sit on chairs at the front. And he just said, you guys haven't really been in schools much, apart from your own education, to us. Ask them anything you want. And it started off being like very... what years are you all in? Right, well, I'm...
Yeah.
And they were, this is the inner city, so they were like... I remember there was a big sort of black kid there with an afro and an Asian girl, and the others I can't remember. And it was like, you know, I'm this name, whatever, and I'm in year 9. And then it got more like, how many teachers have you got that you think are any good? And a little smirk to each other. 2. Tell us about those teachers. Well, Mr. Edwards in history... because he does, it's like this is good stuff.
Yeah,
I remember just like this is brilliant.
Yeah,
but the rest of it, as you say, just complete waste of time.
Yeah, yeah, that is good. I like that. I like that. Yeah. Right. Well, the purpose of this was just really to be a sort of little insight into what we do. And you're here for the day. I should say you're here for the day.
Yeah, loving
it. So our plan, really, to be completely transparent, is to record a few episodes today.
Yes.
Each one will probably start with, hi Doc.
Great
to see you again.
Yeah, proper showbiz.
Of course.
Yeah.
But record a few episodes, and then it's into the summer. Maybe we'll do this again.
Yeah, well.
It'd be really good to
get
a bunch done.
Tomorrow?
We've still got to get some guests on the show. Oh, and we're going to try and visit a school, aren't we? Going to try and visit. Maybe,
yeah, we were. We
I don't know whether we give we, details of that.
Well, no, we probably won't give details. Invited. But we were invited to visit a school in Manchester.
Yeah,
but I need to just drill down a little bit on why, because we're not. It's difficult, isn't it, with us? Because we're not necessarily wanting to go and visit a school, like as like trainees or something, to like consider working there or take our notepads. And that's great the way you do it. We're not really wanting to do that. Although obviously, whatever we learn and we take back.
Yeah.
We're also, though, in no way wanting to go as, like, advisors, are we?
No.
Or thinking that we are that.
No.
But we do like going to visit schools.
I would like to go. I mean, the ideal for me, I think, on this one is to go up there and spend some time, you know, hopefully we'll have the key to the department, as it were. We'll be able to,
school,
to
go, yeah.
go around. And then have a do an interview with the chap who's invited us at the end and talk to him about...
You need to sort that out.
You know, what it was that, because there was a particular reason he wanted us to come and have a look at that, and how he got to that place. I think it would just be really interesting to talk to people and try to get a candid view on what's going well and how they've got there and perhaps what they're still working on, without us trying to sort of point out, you know, or catch anyone out. We're certainly not in that business, are we?
No, absolutely not. We're not in the business of catching anyone out, because I think we're both acutely aware that come and visit our schools and it won't be that across the board everything you see is just perfect. It isn't that. I mean, the only school where that is kind of suggested to be the case is probably Michaela.
Yeah.
Where it is kind of held up as being like, you'll find no faults here. And we have to go and visit there, don't we?
Because, we do have to go and visit there.
Because they're getting the highest progress rate in the country.
Yeah.
Everybody that goes to visit there comes back saying it was flipping amazing. Tom Bennett says they're getting it right.
Yeah.
What other school are they doing that, really? And I need to go there. And actually, we should have done that by now already, shouldn't we, really?
Yeah. We should have done. But, okay, so... I think that's it, really. Unless there are any other reflections or insight to our process and what we're doing here. We've had, as you mentioned earlier, we've had the podcast has really picked up in terms of listenership.
Yeah,
that seems to be over the last 2 or 3 months.
Guests, we're not always as hot on as probably some other pods, which is partly due to the fact that just we work.
Yeah.
And some guests who we probably could get on, rightly so, would like to be interviewed, like, in the day. Yeah. Which is hard, isn't it?
It is.
You know.
I'd like to aim for more guests, though, next year.
Yeah, we do need to.
Really good.
Because...
And I think they don't have to be, you know, rock stars. Some of our best interviews have been, you know, really, you were saying earlier, the interview with Rachel, new to teaching, return to teaching.
Yeah. Great.
And that's been one of our really popular episodes.
Fantastic guest.
She had so much insight to share. So I think just talking to teachers and talking to people who have lived the experience that we're trying to...
I think one of my favourites right back at the start was when we had... Helen Sydenham on.
Yep.
And she was just sat in her lounge with like a glass of gin, just telling us how she sorted out a year group.
Yeah.
And just being and you could almost visualise the scenarios that she was explaining as being absolutely true and what she does day to day.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Yeah.
So I think if anyone's listening to this and they're interested and they've got something to say, you know, contact us because we certainly be open to thinking about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Cool.
Brilliant.
Right, well, I'll see you in a minute.
Yeah, absolutely.